It's good to have Tony and his family here. Lives right down the or around the block from us, our neighbors. Amen. Good to have you and your family. Blessings to you. We love everybody. Don't forget the conference. Invite everybody you possibly can. It is going to be a great time with Brother Michael Snyder, and I am just excited about what he is going to bring to us as far as the word is from the Holy Spirit. And then I get the chance to say something on Saturday evening. Hopefully everybody will come back after hearing him. You know, I know they're going to be here for him, but maybe y'all hang around for me. Amen. But it's going to be a great time in the Lord for sure. Anyways, last time we got together, everybody's ready. We're going. All right, we're going. Last time we got together, we talked about the prayer of faith, part two. I hope, again, that you've been enjoying this time of teaching on prayer. We talked about everything or every ability that man has is found with his environment. That is his natural function, his talents, his process of life, learning, the DNA. That's in his environment. But everything or every ability of man that he lacks is found outside of his environment. And we know that without God, we can't do anything. But when we walk in that supernatural function, that spiritual function of God, we can do things that are out of this world. And we talked about man being naturally, spiritually dead. Without Christ, we're dead. We're dead in our sins. We're dead in our trespasses. And so we went into Mark chapter 11, and we talked about faith in God, having the God kind of faith. Amen. The faith that the world has, it operates really in things that are felt, things that are visible to them. But faith is invisible, but yet it's visible because it's the tangibility of the Word of God. So we talked about that. And remember, we talked about the five different ways that we're to speak. We speak specifically. We speak with authority and direction. We don't have any doubt. We're persuaded, and then we receive it. Amen? And that's what we need to do. We need to receive the word of the Lord. Many people don't know how to receive from God because we feel that we're unblessable. Let me try that again. We feel that we're unblessable because of the upbringing we had, the family we had, the life that we had, the social status we have, all those different things. And that's far from the truth. Let me try that again. Poor in spirit is an attitude. Poor in spirit is an attitude. You know, you can have an attitude of being blessed and knowing that God is for you, and you don't have to have a Lexus and all these other entrapments of life. You can be sound in your heart knowing that you're, you know, walking in favor with God and doing the best that you can. So many times we get really blinded by the fact of what we have and what we don't have, and we use that as a you know, some type of measuring level between us and God and how he feels about us. And that's not true. But we do need to learn how to receive it, okay? And receive the blessings of God. James chapter 1, verse 5, remember that? The double-minded man has its two souls operating in two functions. A double-minded man is a man who thinks about heaven, but he also thinks about earth. And he can't have, you know, you can't have both functioning in your life. You got to either let go of the earthly things and concentrate on God and faith, or you're just going to grab hold of the world and struggle. I choose to grab hold of the things of God. How about you? All right, so that was last week. We got a long way to go tonight. I'm looking back at the clock, and that clock's wrong. So my clock says 7 o'clock. How about yours? I'm just kidding. It is about 7:20. But I need to get all this to you here. I don't really want to make this a part two out of this one teaching. It might end up being one, another part if I get more download on this. But I really want to finish this with you. So tonight we're talking about the prayer of expectancy. The prayer of expectancy. The prayer of expectancy. Let me give you some opening statements for you to write down. The power of expectancy is rooted in hope. The power of expectancy is rooted in hope. Really, expectancy and hope are the same thing. And I'm going to show it to you as we go along. But the power of expectancy is rooted in hope. Hope is the twin dynamic and anchor of faith. Hope is the twin dynamic and anchor of faith. All right? They are inseparable in function and in fact. This is an absolute. This isn't some type of theory, some type of theological theory. This is fact. They're inseparable function and in fact. Faith and hope are the two keys that produce answered prayers. They're not the only, but they are two keys that produce answered prayers. I'll run over it again real fast. The power of expectancy is rooted in hope. Hope is a twin dynamic and anchor of faith. They are inseparable in function and in fact. Faith and hope are the two keys that produce answered prayers. Okay? How do we know that? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 real quick. You're probably going to get a finger cut tonight, a paper cut, I mean, on your finger, and just going to, you know, we got Band-Aids in the back. You should be okay. It's probably be the most you've ever turned your Bible in a long time. But you need to hear this and see it with me instead of just quoting it, okay? So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. When is faith? Now. Now faith is the substance. Everybody say substance. It's the foundation. Okay? Faith is the substance or the foundation. It's the confirmation. It's the confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So look at it again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we have faith and we have hope. We have expectation. We have confidence. We have a foundation. We have tangibility. And you could say it this way, hope is the ignition of faith. Hope is the ignition of faith. I have an expectation of God. I hope, not the worldly hope. And this is where we got to really train our brain and get our minds functioning like God wants us to in the Word. That the hope of the world is, man, I hope I get paid Friday at the right amount of money. Well, I sure hope that bill comes in a little shy than what I'm thinking it's going to be. You know, I hope. We hear it all the time. That's not faith. The hope of God, the hope of the Word of God is I expect God, I expect the Word, I expect the Holy Spirit, I expect everything that the Bible promises to be available to me. Now, see, that's too high and lofty for a lot of Christians because they don't think they have the right and the ability to expect God and to expect the Word. But you do because God set the standard. He put the Word in action, and He said, try me at my Word. He said it in Malachi. He said it with the tithe. He said, just come on, try me. See if I won't pour out the blessings upon you. Open the windows of heaven. He said, prove it. I'm going to prove to you how awesome I am. You know, God isn't afraid of a challenge when it's done in faith and it's done in hope, expectancy, okay? So I wanted to get that rooted in your mind tonight. So when we go back and look what I said, the power of expectation is rooted in hope. Hope is a twin dynamic and anchor of faith. They operate together. You can't say you have faith if you don't have expectancy for that which you're believing to come to pass. It's not real faith. It's just a mantra. You're just saying the same thing some fancy preacher said in a Gucci outfit. Come on, I don't have Gucci. I got a pair of Gotchus. That I bought at Walmart. Amen. But the reality is, we know we try to mimic. We say, you know, we're going to go do the same thing, and I'm going to go buy that CD, and I'm going to go buy that book, and I'm going to say the same formula, and it doesn't work for you. You get mad, burn the books, ask for a refund. How many of you know you ain't going to get a refund from no preacher, usually? They'll just say, count it as an offering, brother. Amen. The Lord will bless you. But the reality is, man, the Word of God is tried and it's been tested long before that Bible ever got in your hand. The patriarchs before tried the Word, amen? The disciples and the apostles tried that Word and that Word works. You just got to work the Word. I don't know why I feel like preaching tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. We got to have the expectation of God. We got to expect, even in these last days, the end days, we got to expect God to take care of us, provide for us. We got to expect a mighty revival of God. All right, so I want to get that rooted in your heart. Now, go to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 11. We're going to bounce off this and teach a little bit, and then I'm going to bring you some cool revelation. Is that all right? Amen. I tell you what, God is blessing this house, and I love y'all. As you're turning there, I just want you to know I love you. I love everybody that's listening tonight on different media platforms. We're just so grateful for this house. If y'all didn't get a chance to see the Cuba pictures and video that we did, and we put it on Facebook, please go to our Facebook page and check it out. It's really good. Joshua did all that by himself, man. And everybody sent pictures in together and put it together. It was just really, really awesome. So he's turned out to be a real media guy. I'm just afraid he's going to start asking for big package stuff. Amen. Everybody look over at Clay, because that's how media people are, IT people are. Amen. He has something in his ears. He's like, what? What? I was talking about how the media people, they get, you know, the packages, the things always get bigger and bigger. Remember when you had a little Walkman? Yeah, now you got to have all this other stuff. But okay, so you there? I gave you time. All right, watch this. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 11. Now, there's various versions and translations when you read it and understand it, but I want to read it to you through King James and then bring you a principle in here. There's various views, some commentaries, but I'm going to show you the meat of what this means, okay? Verse 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. Now, King James was bold enough to put it this way. Other versions, NIV and some other translations, they kind of shy away and they bring it into a different contextual meaning. But I'm going to show you again from other scripture this understanding of this spiritual principle. So I'm giving you a spiritual principle, okay? We have to understand something. Watch this. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me, ask me. This is the first principle that we must understand when it comes to expectancy, that we have the right, the privilege, the power, the permission to ask God. Somebody shake your head if you know what I'm talking about. Write this down. Authority is power rooted in knowledge. Authority is power rooted in knowledge. One more time. Authority is power rooted in knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge of dominion and boundaries. What I can and cannot do. What kind of knowledge? The knowledge of my boundaries. The knowledge of my dominion. What I can and cannot do. When I begin to understand the boundaries of my life, then I begin to operate in authority. You ever been around somebody in authority? Whether it's a mall cop, it's a somebody's security, it's a law enforcement, any type of authority, TSA, somebody that's in control of a zone, an area. They know what they're doing and they say, hey, 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 that's as far as you go right there, bub. How many of y'all have done that? Walked in the construction zone or something, people hollering at you, screaming, hey, you idiot, get out of what's wrong with you. Try it at TSA, man. Cross one line and all buzzers and bells go off and SWAT comes out of the ceiling and you're just throwing your bottle of water away. So authority is power rooted in knowledge. When I begin to have knowledge of my authority, knowledge of my dominion, knowledge of the boundaries, knowledge of what I can and cannot do, then my authority increases. Amen. And so I'm bringing this principle out to you because he said in verse 11, ask me. Ask me. Now the word ask, let me give it to you in the Hebrew, is shalal, S-H-A-A-L, S-H-A-A-L, 7592 if you're going to go back and study this. And it means to inquire, It has a connotation of beg and demand. In other words, don't be shy. I'm going to teach you something about the prayer of expectancy. Don't be shy when it comes to the things of God and the Word of God. If God didn't want you to have it, He wouldn't have put it in the Bible for you to have it. He's not afraid of any of us coming to Him with boldness and humility and knowing the authority that we've been given. Again, I know my authority because this is my boundary right here called the Bible. This is your dominion called the Bible. You have the right and dominion to walk into your home and cast out devils and tell the devil he's got to stop and tell sickness it's got to go. Is that your boundary? Then that's your authority. Does that make sense? So I'm building this case here as though I'm a prosecutor, or I'm a defense attorney in a court. I'm trying to bring this to our understanding. So he said, ask of me. Ask of me of things to come concerning my sons. Now, he's speaking prophetically. He's speaking to things in the future. Do we have scriptural proof that that's available? Of course. Daniel chapter 12, verse 6. He asked the angel, which was the angel of the Lord, concerning prophetic things. We can see it throughout the Bible where man in our weakness, you know, when we are confronted with such a challenge of life, or we see where the presence of God comes, man says, you know, what am I? What is my future? And God doesn't have any problem with that. It doesn't freak him out per se for us to come and say, Father, what about the future? What about my life? What about things to come? How many have ever asked the Lord, hey man, I don't, what's tomorrow for me? You know, I'd like to know my future. And the Lord can show us that. Okay, so I want you to write that down. Don't be shy. You need to have that somewhere in there and go back to that. Don't be shy. Your Father loves you. You're accepted in the beloved, man. He's for you, not against you. Okay? Concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Now that word command is tashvah. That's T-S-A-V-A-H. T-S-A-V-A-H. 6680. 6680 in the Hebrew, if you're going to study it out. Now watch this word. It means to charge, to give orders, or to appoint. To charge, to give orders, to appoint. Now, here's what you have to remember. Because when you see something like this, and some people are hearing this for the first time, and it just shocks us, and we say, wow, man, you're basically saying that we can command God. No, you're not commanding God. You're speaking to His Word. You're speaking to the Word. You're speaking to the enemies. You're speaking to the opposition, and you are ordering the Word of God to do what He already ordered it to do. Do you get it? You're just agreeing with heaven. You're just echoing, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how can it be done on earth if I don't agree with heaven? Well, how do I agree with heaven? You don't get a weekly newsletter from heaven. It's right here, the Bible. It just don't come to you by email. I mean, you know, we got it right here in print that He says you can ask what you will. Ask, and it shall be what? Given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Woo. But we look at this and we get freaked out, and we don't understand the way King James and all these different things. But the reality is this: God said, I give you this opportunity. You ain't commanding me. You ain't telling me nothing already that I want to do for you. You're just speaking to the Word. Speak the Word, Jesus, and my servant will be healed. Woo! He sent His Word and it healed them of all their diseases. Glory to God. But we get so timid, we get so shy based on our upbringing, based on being told by mommy and daddy, no, 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 or told by our race or our creed or anything about us that we can't succeed, or we can't become everything God told us to be. We got to break that, don't we? Isaiah 43, 26. Go there real quick. This is another evidence of what I'm trying to teach you tonight. Because you got to get this, we got to get this broken off of us. We could quote it, but let's go ahead and read it. Isaiah 43, 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. But look, put me in remembrance. In other words, God says, remind me. It's not that God is old and he's sitting on the rocker of heaven outside of the heavenly Cracker Barrel playing checkers and hanging out. No, man. He said, remind me. Why? Because you forget, not him. We forget. So the reminding him is reminding us. And it's causing dialogue between you and God. See, prayer is communication. It's communion. That's what he wants out of you. He wants you to say something. Most people's prayer is, oh, God. Wave at me if that was you recently. Help me, Jesus. And he hears those prayers. He's not deaf. He understands our needs. He understands our frailness. But sometimes he wants us just to stand up and be bold and remind him how awesome he is. Remind him that, God, you defeated the devil 2,000 years ago through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I could just see the Father just flexing a little bit in heaven. Just, man, that's what I'm talking about. That's my girl talking to me. That's my guy. They understand the word. The Bible says that when we praise God, angels excel in strength. Imagine what Daddy God does. Flexes that eternal arm and says, look at that. Look at that. See, he don't need to do all that. But in our minds, we can look at that and say, man, God wants us to remind him. Because it's more about us remembering than it is about him. He don't forget. The Holy One of Israel doesn't sleep or slumber. Amen. This is good teaching, no matter how mean you're looking today. Is that right? Put me in remembrance. Come on now. There's some promises in this room and those listening tonight that you have with God. He's asking you to remind him about the promises. He's not going to rebuke you.
Well, I told you 12 years ago I'd get back with you, didn't I?
He's not going to do that to you. He's going to say, hey, I've been waiting for you.
Oh, I almost said knucklehead. He ain't going to call you that. But,
you know, I've been waiting on you. He might. He might.
He's a father, man. He's a father. I don't know how he speaks to you. I know how he speaks to me.
But he might say to you, he's going to be like, look, I've been waiting for you to remind me. And the fact, the reason why you're thinking about it is because I'm causing you to think about it. I'm stirring your memory up. So remind me. It's all about tenacity. Everybody say tenacity. You have to have tenacity. That's part of expectation. Say, what does that mean? Genesis 32, 26, Jacob wrestled with God. And he said, I ain't letting you go until you bless me. How many folks would just give up on the first slap? I'm done. I'm just, this is not for me. I'm not called to this ministry. I'm not called to intercessory prayer. I'm not called to spiritual warfare. This man held on and he battled. He even got hit on the side of the thigh to where he had a limp the rest of his life. Sometimes we got to battle things until we get a limp. He didn't want him to let go. That's tenacity, isn't it? But that's the spirit of expectation. And I'm building a case for you that when you pray, don't give up. You got to hold on. It's not necessarily that you're battling God. You're battling yourself. You're battling your past. You're battling your emotions. You're battling all the things that you and I deal with, the baggage we carry. Wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. It was more Jacob wrestling his past than it was wrestling God. Oh, because God could have just said, bink, get off me, bink. I mean, it would have been nothing for God to deal with Jacob. Is that right? So it's tenacity. So we go back to this expectation. We have to have expectation. Put me in remembrance, he says. I want you to be full of faith. You can demand, you can appoint, you can speak to my word, and my word will be performed. And I don't have any problem with it because I wrote the word. I am the word. And I've got no problem with this, but we do in prayer. We really do. We get hung up and we have complexes. Now, I told you a long time ago, I gave you part of my testimony. One day I'm going to give you my whole testimony. It's going to be rough. You better bring in some boots. It's going to get tough. But the reality is I dealt with complexes. I dealt with those confident issues, you know, being confident in life and thinking everybody's against me. How many ever been there before? I mean, you walk into a room, you knew they were talking about you, but they weren't. You know, you just walked in. Why is everybody looking at me? Well, probably because you didn't dress right. But other than that, it has nothing to do with you. But when you have a complex issue and a complex problem, you really do. You think everybody's after you. Amen? But expectancy breaks that. It's an anointing. It breaks it. And it causes you to say, you know what? I have a relationship with God that's second to none. I'm not even going to compare myself with none of you all. Come on now. That's the way we should be. And Joshua did it in Joshua chapter 10, I believe it's verse 12. Joshua spoke to the sun and the moon. He commanded the works of God's hands, didn't he? He was authorized, wasn't he? He was authorized and he had knowledge that God said he would do it because Joshua asked for it to happen and God granted it, didn't he, in the battle. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. Well, if it's good for Joshua and it was good for Jacob and Isaiah speaks about it and we see it through all the Bible, why don't we apply it to our personal lives today? Pray the prayer of expectancy. I expect God because I have faith and it's anchored in hope, which is expectancy. I'm expecting God because I have tenacity. I'm expecting God to do it because he said he would perform his word. How? By watching over it. That means when you speak it through prayer, he watches over it that it comes to pass as long as it's prayed in his will. How do we know it's his will? If it's his word, it's his will. May not always be the timing of it, but that doesn't matter. That should not keep us from praying the prayer of faith and having expectancy. Amen? Like I said, Matthew 7:7, you got to ask, you got to seek, you got to knock. All that sounds like I got to do something, don't it? See, too many times Christians want everybody else to ask, would you go seek the Lord for me? Would you go knock on the preacher's door? No, you get up and ask, you get up and seek, and you get up and knock. Amen. So, expectancy can move heaven. Expectancy can move earth. Expectancy could change your outlook tomorrow. You can go to bed tonight with a prayer of expectancy saying, God, I believe you that tomorrow will be my best day yet this year. I don't care if it's already we're already sliding into the fall of this year. I mean, you know, this year is going to be over before you know it. I mean, we're in August. Y'all going to be buying me Christmas presents shortly. Sister Barb, just reminding you, the Bible says put him in remembrance, right? But come on, seriously, I was thinking about that day. I was like, we're going to be on clearance sales pretty soon for all the summer stuff. That's when I buy all my junk. How about you? I'm going to go get some patio furniture when it's down to like 99% off. Amen, or something. I'm going to find a beach ball. But the reality is we're headed in really to the end of the year. It's coming. But you can stand and say to God, say, Father, I expect that my latter end of this year will be better than the beginning of the year, be better than any part of my life. I expect it. And go to bed with that expectation and wake up expecting the same no matter how you feel. And then declare it and decree it. You say, how long do I have to have that attitude? As long as it takes to get it. See, again, we give up on the first slap. As soon as the devil slaps back at us, we give up and say, well, that wasn't God's will. No, that means it's on. The first slap, that means it's on. Let's get it on. I'd rather slap him first before he slaps me with his bony paws. Let's watch. Let's go here. Let's go. Let's go to John chapter 2. Let's just go. I don't have that long, but I need to get this all out. And then if we get a part two on another Revelation download or something, that's cool. But y'all enjoying this? Okay, John chapter 2. Now, watch this. You got to watch with me. You got to write stuff down. You may have to get this CD so you can get all this in. You have to expect God to move. You have to expect heaven to move. Expectancy moves heaven. Verse 1, chapter 2 of John, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And they wanted some wine. And the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. So Mary's already at the party. She's hanging out. Jesus shows up. And as soon as he walks in, she says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. First of all, Jesus was not the bartender. And Jesus was not the catering service. He didn't work for any group. Any company, he just came out of respect. Some scholars say that it might have been a distant family member or whatever that drew Jesus there to the wedding. Regardless of what it was, Jesus was there because he's always on time. Verse 4, and Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now, the word woman there, he wasn't being disrespectful. The word woman there means ma'am. He was saying ma'am. Now, you have to understand what's fixing to take place. There is a transition of Jesus from being the son of Joseph, the son of Mary, the earthly aspect of his parents and the whole family thing. Because you got to remember later on, Jesus was even criticized by his own family. I preached that from this pulpit about even your family will think you're crazy when you serve God. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus. Remember, they tried to come into a crusade and take him out, take him away from him and say, he's kind of lost his mind a little bit, folks. Don't mind him. But they couldn't get in. They couldn't get into the press. They couldn't get to Jesus. Amen. So there is a transfer, if you will, of Jesus from his son of man type of ministry, moving into the son of God, moving into the savior position, and starting the miracle working power ministry that he had. That's why he used the word ma'am. He didn't say mother. He said woman, which means ma'am. It was not an insult. I've heard preachers before, make it sound like Jesus insulted Mary, and that wasn't an insult. He wasn't that way. There was no guile found inside of him. He was not a rude person. Okay, so you cannot put that on him. You got to read the Greek for what it is to understand. That's why you should study the whole counsel of the Bible and get a better understanding. Okay, so Jesus said, woman, what do I have to do with thee? Ma'am, what do I have to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come. In other words, he's speaking to the humanity of the situation and saying that it is not my hour to manifest or to perform the miracles as you think that I should. Now watch verse 5. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now this is going to get very interesting here. Because Jesus just said, it's not my time. It's not my hour to manifest myself. It's not my hour to walk in divine power as a son of man and son of God. It's not the time to demonstrate that. But yet she says to the servants, do what he tells you to do. Wow. Now, watch this. Let's go on. Verse 6. I want to give it all out, but I can't. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. So roughly, some translated to about 18 to 27 gallons, something like that. Some make it a little less. It's just based on interpretation, okay? And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they were filled to the brim. And he saith to them, draw out now, and they bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. So now let's back up. Here Jesus comes to the wedding. Mary is already there. Jesus enters in and she says, we got a problem. And he looks at her and says, ma'am, what do I got to do with this? This ain't got nothing to do with me. It's not my time. But yet she says to him and to the servants, says, do whatever he tells you to do. Now think about this. What happened? Now so many times we read the Bible robotically. Verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9. And we never think about it and we never try to understand and listen to the Holy Spirit and try to get a better grasp. Something happened from verse 4 and verse 5 on to verse 6. Something took place. Here's what took place. The expectancy of Mary on the word within her and the word which was him, which was Christ, put a demand upon heaven for it to be manifested on earth. And God moved, and he moved upon Jesus. You say, how do you know that? Luke chapter 2. Go real quick there. Hold your place here. Can y'all stand me for a little longer? We're going to go right back to it, but give me the 10 after. Is that fair? If you got to catch a bus, you're in great fortune. We don't have a bus here in Livonia, so you're good. You'll be walking. Luke chapter 2. Watch this. Luke chapter 2. Let's go to verse 19. Nah. Just go to verse 15. I want to read the whole chapter. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, what the Lord has made known to us. So you know they had a visitation. The shepherds and the angels, they declared the word of the Lord. Behold, you know, I bring you good tidings and all those great things. Don't be afraid. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. So they came to Mary and to Joseph and just started blabbing everything. Kept testifying. Man, you wouldn't believe this. Now, see, if you read it robotically, it just sounds like they came over there and they talked to them. They were probably shouting and going, can you believe what we just seen, man? People freak out when they say they see a UFO. I got it right here on camera. And it's shaking, and you can't see anything. These guys had an experience from heaven, so they're all excited. So picture this. Mary's there with the little baby. She's with Jesus. And then all of a sudden, here comes these shepherds. They haven't bathed, by the way. They barge into the room there, and she's holding baby Jesus, and they're freaking out, saying, man, you wouldn't believe what happened. This is incredible. I'm saying this for a reason. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered that these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary kept all of these things and she pondered them in her heart. Mary understood that what they were saying was Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Read it. Write it down. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Behold, talking about the coming of a king. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall come to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. She pondered in her heart. She was reminded in her heart about Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6. And she remembered when the angel spoke to her that she would be with child and that the Holy One would basically overshadow her. Those are all the things that came up inside of her heart. Now watch this for the word pondering in the Greek. You ready? Check this out. It means this, to put it together. To put it together. What did she put together? Her visitation with the angel, her visitation with the shepherds, and the visitation and the understanding of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. She put it all together and kept it right here in her heart. She never, if you look through Scripture, she never asked Jesus, as far as we know in Scripture, to do any type of miracle. Car didn't break down, and she said, would you inflate that with the power of an angel? The tire? Of course, I don't know if they had a car. Am I right? Is there anywhere? I don't know anywhere there is in Scripture that we see a demand on Jesus. But now go back over to John chapter 2. Now there's a demand on him, but it's not a demand on Jesus necessarily. It was a demand on God with the expectancy and the faith within her for the word that she had knitted in her heart. She pondered it. She put it together and she held on to it. And she said, this is the Savior, the Messiah of the world. He may be my son through the womb, but he is the Son of the living God. And she brooded over him and watched over him through his adult life. And many believe, scholars believe, that when he said ma'am to her, Joseph had already died, his earthly father. And so it was a complete disconnection with that earthly family as he began his ministry. It's powerful, isn't it? So she put a demand. So somewhere she spoke to the Father, either before he got there or when he got there. But at some point there was a demand put on Jesus. So, Pastor, how do you know that? John chapter 5, 19 and 30. John chapter 5 and 19 declares what? That he will only do what he sees his Father do. Jesus didn't do anything unless heaven showed him. That's why he was in prayer all the time. That ought to be a good lesson for us to keep us from making big mistakes in life. Most of our mistakes we ever made in life, we did it because we didn't pray about it. We just woke up and said, I'm going to go do it. I don't care what anybody says. Then when we got out of the hospital 6 weeks later, or jail, or whatever, you know, we were doing, or that relationship, come on, be honest with me. We turned around and we said, man, if I just would have listened to you. Okay? Isn't this powerful? This is expectation. She moved Jesus to perform a miracle when Jesus himself said, it ain't my time. I believe there's things you and I can obtain from heaven that may be years down the road if we have the right faith and expectancy in God and we know his word and we know our authority, God would grant it to you. Well, how do you know? Well, how do you know not? Why don't you try? Why don't you challenge it? Why don't you command the works of God's hands? Why don't you speak to the word and say, Father, I'm believing for this or for that. I'm believing it's my time. I don't understand my times, but I'm just believing it's my time for it. Some of y'all looking at me like a calf staring at a new gate. But this is Bible. This is the reality. And we have to learn that prayer of expectation. Because I'm going to tell you something. God is expecting you to do this. He really does. I believe that God really, every day when we wake up, Zephaniah says that he just rejoices over us while we sleep. We can't believe that because we don't like ourselves. We look in the mirror and we can't stand it. We pluck it in, we pluck it out, we paint it, we strap it, we do everything we can. Help me, ladies. We do everything we possibly can to try to make ourselves love ourselves. Is that right? It's the truth. And we barely love ourselves. But the reality is this, that God loves you with an unfailing love, an everlasting love. And Zephaniah does declare that he praises, he rejoices over his creation. And when we wake up in the morning, we need to wake up with the expectation that God is for us and he's not against us. I mean, what kind of Christianity would it be? Always walking around with Snoopy Dog, Linus, blankets, smoke and dirt and dust going everywhere. And
Why is everybody always picking on me? But that's a lot of Christians.
You got to break that. How do you break it? Expectancy. Expect God to do something awesome. Expect that he loves you. Expect that he has a plan for you. I don't know where you're going, John. I ain't slowing down at all.
I've been wanting to do that for a long time. Sorry, John. John has this eternal timer inside of him. When I'm just about done, he gets up. But I said, one day I'm going to get him. Because I like to see him red. He gets real red. Let me close with this understanding. Okay? Jesus wouldn't do anything without seeing his Father do it. God wouldn't give you permission in this word if he didn't want you to have it. There's a reason why it's all here. There's a reason why it's all available to you. There's a reason why multiplied thousands, if not millions, of martyrs died for this word. There's a reason. Because God expects you to expect him. God wants you to expect him to do great and mighty things. And finally, I want you to see this. And this is the capstone to the whole thing tonight. And his mother saith unto him, this is verse 5. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Those were the last recorded words of Mary in the Bible. Look it up. Tell your Catholic friends, your Episcopalian friends, tell all your alien friends. When they pull that Mary thing on you and whatever, I give them two scriptures. I give them this. These are the last things she said. What does she say? She say, do whatever he tells you to do. Good enough for me. And then the second scripture I give them is that Mary was in the upper room speaking in tongues. Woohoo! So where you get all these other Mary ideals from, I can't help you. But I can tell you Bible. Amen? Last words ever recorded in the Bible by Mary. Do what he tells you to do. Whatever he says, you do it. Well, I'm going to do what he tells us to do, and that's to expect great things. Call unto me, he said, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. That can only happen through expectancy. Father, bless your people tonight, those that are listening, those that are here tonight as well. We just love you. Help us in the prayer of expectancy to believe for great and mighty things. Help us to get rid of the complexes and the things that keep us from faith and expectancy in you. Father, only the word can break that. Only the love can melt a heart that's been hardened through abuse and hard times and hard life. And I ask tonight, Father, you would break through our inabilities to see and to have faith in you. Bless your people tonight. Father, I pray for this nation. I pray for our president to make the right decisions. I pray for the leaders around the world, Father, who have their finger on a trigger. And I pray, Father God, that peace would prevail, wisdom would prevail. And Father, may we as a church be prepared for the coming days with expectancy. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. We're going to pray for Miss Carla.